Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with
five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm definitely Alistair George William Tiriambile Biarchiel. Andy, and so this was the dream. Podcast, we come up with five sketch ideas. We already said
that. I did say that. Yeah.
Oh, this is the dream. And he said, I should tell that I had a dream a couple nights ago, and I was like a fish or something. And the French were chasing us, but I was like a fish, but I was part of a group, and we were all shapeshifters. And the French in the like an old wooden galley of some sort were after us, right? And as they got close, I kind of like shapeshifted into like, you know, either a bigger fish, like a, you know, a marlin or something like that. And then I kind of got away and I was like, yes. But then they kept coming. And then I shapeshifted into like a bird and I flew up. And I was like, I remember seeing them above them and they were like, suddenly they were throwing nets up in the sky. And I was like, and I had this realization. I was like, they're never going to stop. That's how they win. They're just going to keep going. They're going to keep going until we're all gone.
That's the relentless.
Until we're all gone.
Wow. Sounds like you might have been briefly possessed by some sort of spirit animal of of an indigenous culture, maybe. I mean,
Holy shoot.
A bit like you might have been Maui, the Polynesian.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I guess if there's the possibility of one Maui, then it means that the conditions under which a Maui was created could probably be replicated, and you could probably have many Mauis.
I mean, that is the thing about gods, isn't it? Is it like, why would there only be one? Does seem unusual that like, but I mean, but maybe that's me trying to apply the principles of science to something that lies beyond the hand of science.
It's not that crazy to think that if there was a god that created a universe, then there could be other gods that created other universes. And that the gods could then do battle and maybe steal each other's universes.
Yes, universe on universe. Do you think if there was a universe or a god war, like when Australia joined Britain in World War One, out of a sense of, you know, sort of duty to the empire, do you think if God started a fight with one of the other gods, human beings would feel obliged to go along and help God in the fight?
I wouldn't.
Great.
I wouldn't though. But
I just
don't know what I could do. And the thing is that we would have to get in outside of the universes, which I imagine was where they fight.
Well, there'd probably be some sort of pan-dimensional armored personnel carrier that would allow you to drop you off on the shores of infinity, much like the ones that dropped our boys at Gallipoli.
Well, do you think that maybe, you know, it's where there's like an, maybe on Earth would be, there would be like an opening to another dimension, to another Earth-like planet? Because God probably likes to fight with his followers, doesn't he?
I think probably so. Yeah.
Leads them into slaughter. I love leading them into slaughter.
But maybe he wouldn't. Maybe God would prefer to be a general sort of behind the, a long way from the front.
Yeah.
In some sort of command center, sending mere mortals in to fight against the infinite power of an actual god. I think it's quite funny, the idea of us all running, screaming at an actual omnipotent god.
The other one actually just loves to fight. He just loves to fight mortals barehanded. and he just like, you know, he grabs us and he picks us up. He's huge. And he like lays us over one of his fingers, like, and then he just snaps our back over his fingers.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, he wouldn't just be huge. He'd be infinitely big, but he has to make himself merely huge so that he can enjoy the experience of snapping us like a twig.
Yeah, because absolutely.
Otherwise,
can you hear my child yelling? Yeah, what's that, Hux? No. You see the what? The city you saw a lost what?
You want to come say it into the microphone just once? No? Okay. Do you need me to do something? What are you doing? You want to say hi, Andy?
Hi, Poopoobamba.
No!
Oh, no! Oh, I fell right into your trap, Hux. Oh, I left myself wide open for that.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you had to hear
well,
that.
Well, because I was expecting just a high Andy. I left all my defenses down. I lowered my shields and I gave those words like an open path to the innermost layers of my psyche. And
like an interdimensional god in a war. Exactly. Like an international god war.
Exactly. I mean, that would be pretty. That would be pretty impressive. I feel like a god would probably have the kind of gun that if he shoots you, it makes you never have existed. Do you think they could come up with one of those in war?
Oh, because I mean, because that's how you get rid of your eternal souls.
That'd be the only way.
Oh, imagine that though—a gun that kills your eternal soul.
Does and it leave your body still alive?
Yeah, your body is still alive, but there's you just feel that emptiness. You just get so sad. You get sad until you die, like increasingly sadder until you die.
I mean, just the idea of a gun that makes people really depressed is it's quite funny.
Gun that makes people depressed.
Like, you know, you have all the PTSD of war with none of the violence. Isn't that the dream, you know, that like they wanted to be able to make bombs. Was it the H-bomb that they, you know, supposedly, or a neutron bomb, maybe you can drop and it'll kill people but leave buildings standing. Well, even better, what about this? Just completely destroy people's
it'll leave building and people standing, but only their heads will be hanging down.
Exactly.
It's like a vegan bomb, like that allows you to win a war but without killing any people or animals.
Just make them not want to go on.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
I mean, because you could imagine like hunters doing that in the, you know, they like shoot a, you know, a mother deer of some sort, and then they're like, well, and then she runs off, and then they're like, we'll track her down pretty soon, and then she's just like laying down with a, you know, with like a snuggie, and she's got just chips or whatever like that. Can't be fucked.
Oh. I feel much sadder about this idea now that you made it an animal for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, when it was merely our fellow man from which we were stripping the dignity and the will to live. It all seemed so light and fluffy.
But then light and fluffy until that you found out that it was an animal that had children.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think the problem is you tapped into the... Probably the very moment that I lost my innocence as a person and I realized that there was sadness in the world was when I went and saw Bambi for the first time as a small child and was very unhappy.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
that was
I guess
the moment that I had my soul stripped from my body.
It's funny that there's stuff like that where I guess now in a lot of kids' films, because it's like people are like, oh, you know, you can't, I don't know. Like, there is a thing where it's like now they kind of make the messages in films, even like Disney films or Pixar films, where it's like only the adults get the really sad stuff. Like they code it so that it's not quite like that. Like
it's not, it's like dog whistling, is it? But it's kind of like a dog whistle.
It's like it's a kind dog of a dad whistle. But it's but it's for like people who are capable of depression. And sad and true it's, deep sadness.
It's the black dog whistle, Alistair.
It's the black dog, Andy. That's very good.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. You know, I'm a satirist. So that's why I'm so good at that kind of thing. Because of my satirical power.
You'll be able to take down governments with that.
Mm.
Because, like, you know, things like that where it's like, I guess Bluey's a bit like that. And, you know, like a movie like Soul, it's like, Daddy, why are you crying? Well, you see, he's lived his whole life, and when he looks back on it, he is depressed with what he did, and he regrets his entire existence. But the fiction in here is that he gets a second chance somehow. Yes. You see?
Which...
But I'm reminded that I won't, and every moment I waste is just gone.
In what to you appears as a hopeful component of this story, for me, merely serves to underline the sadness. And it's actually quite impressive what they've done.
Even sitting here watching this film is I now consider to be a complete waste of my time. You see, Daddy is filled with dreams, but also the inability to get himself to sit down and complete and, you know, achieve them. And so it's a heaviness that I carry around all the time. Sometimes it's that distraction, it's that feeling that makes me not be spending as much time with you as I could be, because I think I'll sit at the computer and do some work, and then I don't. And so then I'm not enjoying my time with you, and I'm not doing anything that I want. And so then I get really sad.
Oh, but then that sadness does further stop me from being able to do things or enjoy my time with you. So it's, you know, it's not all bad. Some of it is terrible.
I think I'm happy that we had this discussion.
So is that a sketch? I think that is a sketch.
I think it is, yeah. I've written down the black dog whistle in films. And I think that there's a sketch-like possibility to it.
I think, you know, I think also at its simplest it could just be a thing. Very much as we acted out there, Alistair, with our incredible gift for performance of a dad just sitting there in a movie theater and explaining those things to his son.
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Well, son.
Oh. And then you look back and he's actually not even watching anymore. He goes, he turned into a cat. he's a cat now. And you're like, yes. Yes, that is good. Because in a way, you're rooting for him not to get back, not to fix his life, because you're like, I don't want you to get a chance to fix you. it's really yuck if ever you feel that way.
Arsehole. Is that anything?
Arsehole? Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, I see. Like,
it's like arsehole.
Like R dash soul.
That's right. You like, heard me.
What category does he have? And that's bad people just have an R soul.
Exactly.
I mean, acehole is not that far either.
No, but that sounds good, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah, I think you'd want one of those.
An acehole.
Oh yeah, love a good nice acehole.
Yeah.
What
a beasthole, seasoul, seasoul.
Seasol, I think, is some sort of liquid fertilizer.
Desol.
De La Soul is a De rap La
Soul.
Group.
E Soul. Oh. Resol. Okay, forget it.
No, that's okay. Do you think we can come up with a cryptocurrency that is that allows us to sell our immortal souls?
I think that's a fun idea. But before we do this, I just want to... No, I don't need to interrupt this idea with this, with what I was going to say.
It's nothing. It's nothing. I didn't want to talk about that idea. As soon as I said it, Alistair, we've come up with too many ideas about cryptocurrency, which is something I fundamentally don't care about.
Yeah, I understand.
What I do care about is ideas like the one we just had about making children sad and us being sad.
Try. I mean, I think the kid still even wouldn't get it if you... That's the thing, is that the kid still wouldn't understand any of it, even if you explained it to them like
that. Yeah, but then, I mean, I hope you're right, Alistair, and that's... But I feel like that almost gives us a little out, you know? I feel... Like we're making it not as sad as it could be. This comedy sketch.
Then he's a cat, and they go, "Look at me." And then you turn the kid's head towards it. You know, don't waste your life like I have.
Sitting here watching this movie with you.
Okay, so I'm just letting you know that I am alone with Hux today. So,
yes.
You saw a giant squid? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't. I'm going to do this podcast with Andy. Hux, that's the reason why you get to watch Octonauts. I can't sit with you right now. Come here. Come here for a second. Okay, the reason why you get to watch Octonauts is because Daddy's got to do this recording. So you got to not come and talk to me right now, okay? What? I'm sorry. He just said poo-poo bum-bum again. I have to react really strongly.
Oh, this is really nice, though. What a glimpse. Alistair, before the podcast started, you saw a groundhog.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, hang on. I have to go get some water. Andy,
You're gone, I'm going to think of something. Something, right?
Speaking you talk about the marmot.
Okay, I'll be back. The marmot. A marmot day, that'd be a great sort of knockoff of Groundhog Day. Or maybe it would have to be Marmot 24 Hours. 24-hour marmot. There you go. Be great to do a version of Groundhog Day from the point of view of the groundhog. It would just be called... I guess they'd probably do... Groundhog's probably just called Groundhog Day. They probably just call it Normal Day. So the film would be called Normal Day, but then you know, obviously, it'd be the life of a marmot. So,
thank you for
it. Wouldn't seem that normal to us. But Alistair, what about a version of Groundhog Day? Because that's what everyone makes now. So we just remake the movie Groundhog Day over and over again because we just love the concept. We did it with Russian Doll. We did it with Palm Springs. We did it with...
what's another one?
That other one. It's such a tempting premise.
Oh, it is.
But what about this? That you wake up day after day, and maybe days are random now. You move through time randomly. So it's just not the day after, it's some other random day. At some other point in time, could you construct a narrative out of that?
So wait, so you every day is a new day.
But
it's at a random point in time.
Yeah, exactly. In your life, presumably.
Yeah.
You know, so you wake up,
and I mean, and I guess in the end, I mean, it's either. I guess in the end, there is still a limited number of days. And so you would end up going over them again and again.
Yeah. To
a certain extent. Well, I guess because like you got to remember where, you know, a lot of these films are about the nature of infinity. And so the idea is that they all get very good at living through these days.
Yeah, well, this one isn't that, though. This one's about the nature of finity.
Okay. So you you just get to relive your whole life, but
no, you don't get to relive your whole life. No, no. Again, you're wrong.
It'll seem like you're reliving days from your life, but some of it are days that you haven't even lived yet. But then you get different perspective. So you get to be old again, and then it's like a mixture of Groundhog Day, and a Night Before Christmas or whatever, a Christmas Carol, where you get to see your future self,
or
how things turn out.
Yeah.
Will there be a ghost leading you?
I don't know if there's a ghost, but I think there probably would be a scene where you're on your deathbed, you know. So you're on your deathbed, and then you go back. And you go and do a different day. But you can only ever do every day once, right?
Yeah. And I think getting to be a kid again, you know, on a random day. And I guess this is how you would do the storytelling, because there'd be various things where you would encounter something that maybe somebody felt, or an anger that he had, or a frustration or something like that, that you could probably encounter the cause of at some point when they're a kid or a teenager or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would see maybe quite early on somebody on their deathbed, maybe filled with regret and that sort of thing, right? But maybe they have multiple days on their deathbed, okay? And so after flashing forward and having that first day on their deathbed, right, they then go back and have earlier points in their life where, with the knowledge of where they get to and what sort of regrets they experience at the end of their life, they then try and change other parts of their life and then find themselves back on their second day on their deathbed.
So they're still there. Damn.
No, they're still there, yes, but now things have indeed changed. It wasn't their final day, and then they get to go and have their final day, their final death day, finally die, and then maybe things are better in some way. Or worse.
Yeah, or they just have to hold out, not die before midnight, and that's when they flash to another day.
Yeah.
Every time you're dying in a day, you have to hold on until midnight. and then you get another day.
I think that's right. Yes. Yeah, and you can sort of zip away. You know, someone will be chasing you, hoping to, maybe you got in some situation where somebody's chasing you, hoping to end your life brutally. But if you make it, the clock ticks to midnight, then as they lunge for you with their soul-destroying knife, you flash away, you're not there anymore, and you're back in a different day in your life.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that, like, some non you is kind of takes over in that moment, like
what does happen.
But I guess it's kind of like supposed to be like a kind of quantum, like time is not linear type idea, and so that you all time exists at once, and so you could at some point end up in that second day where it's like, imagine that you wake, like, you go to sleep, and then you wake up, and you're running, and that guy's blade is just...
You're back in that moment.
Yeah.
You thought you'd got away with it.
Yeah.
That's a good bit. That's a funny bit of the film. Yeah. Right? You're back into the subsequent day.
Yeah.
Think it's a good idea, Al.
All right.
The pieces are falling into place.
Finally, we can... It's like Groundhog Day, but not at all. You know what I mean, as well?
We'll call it Marmot Day.
Marmot Day.
We'll call it. What's that other one that isn't a groundhog? Gopher.
Gopher. Yeah. I mean, this could have been. It could have been a gopher. Let me just have a look at a gopher. These could all be the same names for this. A very similar kind of animal. Oh no, gopher is definitely a bit.
I think gophers are different.
Oh yeah.
Gophers are quite small.
Yeah.
I went to the Gopher Hole Museum, which is a sort of a quite macabre taxidermy thing in Canada, where it's all gophers all dressed up in different little situations, all dead, but they're sort of have been put into, you know, the Old West or something like that. And Yeah.
But you know what animals are related to? Are related to the gopher, and not the gopher, but the groundhog.
Groundhog. That would be the beaver.
I believe so. That would be my guess. And then the other one that is interesting is the squirrel.
Oh, the squirrel.
So the squirrel are kind of like, squirrels are just basically like tree gophers. I mean, tree fucking groundhogs. They're tree hogs.
They're sky hogs.
They're sky hogs.
Sky hog.
Yeah, and so they're like this category, which is like, they're rodents, but they're a really tolerable rodent. You know, like you can really look at them and not be grossed out.
Yeah.
Why is it that like rats and mice, you go, and it just like makes your innards shiver?
I think it's the tail. I think it's that
gross
slinky
skin
tail.
Skin tail. Yeah. Put a rat tail on any animal, and you would fuck that animal up. Like you would fuck that animal's like the psychological impact it has.
Well, so you claim, but Alistair, I don't think you can just say that unless you're willing to do the experiment and graft a rat tail onto every single one of God's creatures.
Put a proportional sized skin, like skin colored rat tail onto a gorilla.
Not just onto a gorilla, onto man itself. You know, onto the most adorable of all.
Because it looks like there's no bone in there at all. They don't even get to wag it. It just looks like it just is limp.
That's a good point. I wonder if there is bone in there. There must be bone in there. But you'd be like, what's the point in having bone in there? But then if there's no bone in there and they can't... They must be able to control it somehow. Does the tail do anything?
I don't know.
What does it achieve?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you want to have a tail like a kangaroo where you get to, like, lean back on it like it's like a recliner feature.
Maybe rats can, like, tangle their tail around and dangle off things. Tangle and dangle.
Yeah.
You know? Hang. Yeah.
I mean, it feels crazy to not be able to do it at all.
But then that barely feels useful for them. Yeah. Like, can't be, because what it is it's just like an extra, like, it's basically your body length again, giving anything that tries to pursue you just that slightly better chance of catching you, right? Like a cat trying to catch you. There's no point having this fucking cord hanging off the back that they can just grab onto. It's like a handle. Right?
Yeah.
It's a rat handle.
And actually, that's kind of how Sylvester or Tom or Jerry or whatever, they always seem to catch the mouse by the tail.
Yes.
And then they have this, like, handle that they can hold it with where the mouse can't, like, bite you from.
Hmm. So maybe that's it. Maybe they were designed specifically for that by God.
Yeah,
himself.
Maybe it helps... I don't know. Why would that help you evolutionarily to be more eatable? I guess if these creatures eat you guys, like because you breed so fast, if creatures eat or are edible, then the animals, the predators become full and then they won't chase everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm pretty sure that checks out.
But also, they're a creature that often are a scavenger. So maybe they need to be living near predators. You know, like...
Oh, wow. And so, keeping the predators reasonably well-fed.
Yeah, alive so that they can catch the big score sometimes. So that they can, you know, scavenge off of that.
Well, you got to spend money to make money.
Exactly. You've got to spend mice to make mice.
Maybe you've got to be... killed horribly so you can live happily. That makes sense.
You see, son, the reason why daddy's crying is because he's a mouse, but he was born with a tail. And you see, that means that he's easily more catchable, but there's many of them. Mm. And so as an individual, he doesn't matter. But for a group, it is beneficial for them to be catchable like that, because then the predators from which they live, they just feed them sometimes when, you know, to fill gaps in them catching bigger prey that they can then feed their sort of mouse families off of. So yeah, that's why
I've been thinking a lot recently about religions and how it is like an evolutionary thing, an evolutionary advantage, I presume, for the gene pool as a whole to have these stories that people are willing to sacrifice their lives for, so that you can operate as a bigger, more powerful unit, bigger than the family unit, and go and defeat other.
Yeah, you know, I guess religion could be the reason why we're the last humans.
Yeah.
Like, that could be totally the exact, like, belief system that it would took to wipe out difference, to wipe out anybody who seemed like they wouldn't join some whatever cult we had created.
I would say that is exactly correct. Yes. It's a big evolutionary advantage to be able to die for a cause. When you think about the evolutionary advantage to the species as a whole, but it's the maybe that's the like or the species or the subset of the species or whatever, but like it turns the evolutionary unit into this bigger mass that can operate like a hive or something like
and
that.
And then the nation and the concept of a nation also kind of acts as a religion in a way for, because so many people are like, I'm proud of where I'm from. And you go, yeah, but you would say that no matter where you're from,
where you were from.
And so that doesn't mean that that place is necessarily good. It just happens that it is good. You know, but then maybe no place is absolute shit. Maybe it's just a leader that makes a place particularly shit.
Yeah, I wonder if there are any people from any places who are like, who the dominant philosophy, you know, vibe of the place is, this place is shit and we deserve to be conquered like, and defeated.
Yeah, like, yeah, that one country where they like, they're trying to get conquered. Please, why won't another country that is like actually can run itself, why won't they take us over?
We need a new culture. Yeah. We need, they're just like, everybody's down on their national cuisines. Everybody hates their...
But they keep making it.
well, they don't have anything else. Save us from ourselves. We keep doing this.
And then...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And instead of having an army, a defensive army, what they would have, I guess, would be some sort of welcoming committee.
That's right.
You have to go and do national service for 2 years when you leave school in the... armed, not the armed forces, but the open arm forces.
The open arm forces. I mean, they would try various things to attract people. Some of it would be free hugs, obviously, like you're suggesting. There probably would be some attempting to seduce. You know, you'd be like, ooh, doing little stripteases near the border.
But that feels like, in a way, that demands a sort of a level of confidence and self-belief that maybe this nation wouldn't possess.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to think yourself beautiful. before that's you're going to believe other people.
Yeah, they've been shot with a depression gun, so to speak.
A low self-esteem power.
I mean, you know, just the idea that you could put low self-esteem bullets into the into the depression gun. This is a high caliber low self-esteem bullet.
These are psychological armor piercing bullets. Not psychological armor. What's a better word for that? These are coping mechanism.
No, but there piercing. Was like, you know, these you put up your walls, that kind of thing. Mm, like psychological wall piercing. I think psychological armor worked for me, but.
Okay, great. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Do you think the bullets are invisible? Do you think the bullets are invisible? Because they're so abstract.
Yeah, I think when you they put probably them into the gun. Be, yeah. But right. The gun does have a hole in it.
Oh yeah, and there is a big recoil as well when you shoot. Yeah. Something is coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there would be an equal and opposite force. do you think? Do you think that it would just even just shooting it would make you just momentarily feel a moment of elation, like?
You mean like a regular gun? yes. Don't you get that from all weaponry? Even just looking at it. Sometimes just Googling it and reading the specs of the... Do you not have that?
You know, you close your eyes and you just picture the power in your hands. imagine shooting like the depression gun towards like an overflying plane or something like that, and you get the pilot.
Oh no!
I'm going down.
That's just him going down in a spiral. Like a co-pilot. I'm spiraling. The plane's not spiraling.
And then you know, mayday, mayday. But then the co-pilot has to like give the pilot some ecstasy or something like that, like some MDMA, and then
we're
losing him. He started to drink.
Good, Alistair. I'm all good stuff. Pretty tired, and so sometimes when I reach for something, there's nothing there. I had a feeling there was something I could add to that conversation, and.
I mean,
and maybe
that was,
there was.
That was some of the thickest silence I've heard on this pod. You know?
I think my brain went completely blank.
Yeah, well, that's
Alistair,
nice.
It's possible, though, that we've got 5 sketch ideas written down. And it's also possible that we would be doing the listeners a service.
Yes.
A national service.
We would be doing them a this service.
Mm.
Of going to 3 words from a listener. Andy, well, it's funny that you should mention listeners because we have them. And the listeners love to send in 3 words after that they've given us 3 monies
on
Patreon.
That's what they love.
So... Why not I find a word that I forgot to collect, but I've got one now. It is from listener Braden Douglas. Oh, hang on. Huxley is here. Yes, Hux?
Braden Douglas.
My bottle dripping.
Your bottle is dripping? Oh, no. Was it dripping onto the couch? Okay, well, you go sit on the couch, and I'll be done here in not too long. Thanks for letting me know.
I reckon we've got about 1 octonauts left.
Okay, we got 1. That's like, that could be still like 20 minutes, maybe. Or maybe 12. I can't remember how long they are.
Yeah, that's what I think that's probably closer to the mark.
Yeah. All right. Well, dun da 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 da. All right. I don't know who that Japanese guy who wrote that is, or woman, but that Miyoki? I don't know. That person feels like they've created an empire. With that show. Anyway.
The Octonauts?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like it was a pretty big book series before it became a show, right?
Yeah, all right. Okay, I had no idea. Yeah, I don't know anything about Octonauts.
On the opening of it, it does mention based off of the books of, I think, Miyoki.
Ah.
But I digress, Andy. Mm. That doesn't look like when I type in Miyoki, nothing comes up, so I could be entirely wrong. Now, Braden Douglas, longtime listener, not yes. the first time word submitter, but are you prepared to hear and guess the words, hear them once you try to guess them and potentially guess them wrong?
Yes, Alistair, I'm prepared.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm ready to receive
Braden is
your
prepared as well.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The first word is cuticle. Cuticle.
I should have said think carefully before you. I should have said think carefully.
I should have said, oh, and by the way, the first word is not cuticle.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
God damn. I clearly didn't prepare you well for this. Okay. It's not cuticle, Andy. I hope I made that. I was trying to make that clear. First word is stall.
Stall. S-T-A-L-L.
I can feel another Hux interruption coming. A?
Stall.
Hux, you got to give me a few more minutes, okay?
Stall.
Thank you. Stall. Okay, second word.
Second word, four. Stall, four.
Stall, four. Let me look. Well, you got the R right. But the second word is wart.
Stall, wart. Like stalwart. I think maybe the last word is supporter or friend.
Which is it, Andy? Is it supporter or friend?
I'm going to say supporter.
I'm sorry, Andy. The third word is... it is Walmart.
That's funny words.
That's funny words.
Stall, wart, Walmart.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, of course, the first thing that I picture, Alistair, is a Walmart that you can go to, and the floor is kind of wet, like the changing rooms in a swimming pool. And you don't wear shoes in this Walmart. So everybody's contracting warts on their feet, verrucas.
I mean, with Walmart's reputation, it wouldn't be that crazy to picture all of the customers, like the liquid is coming from the customers' feet. And that all the customers have kind of just warty legs and feet, and they walk around and it just oozes wart juice all over the vinyl tiles.
Yeah, but why are they not wearing shoes then? Why are they not wearing shoes? What's the
logic? Culture?
Ah, it's their culture, where they're from. Their bacterial culture.
Yeah, I think it's poverty, I think. But is that a
culture?
Well, I think poverty mixed with a laissez-faire attitude.
Mm.
You know, I guess you can tell that I've been living in Quebec for a bit now. I'm starting to say quite a few more French words. Laissez. What about laissez-faire? That's when you let things be a lesbian.
Ironically, they're often quite hands-on.
Yeah. Well, that's why. That's why you don't want to intervene, you know? I take a real, like, a wildlife photographer's approach to lesbianism. I don't get involved in it, and I just let it take its course.
But do you photograph it?
No. No, sorry.
But you can see why someone might ask that question based on the scenario that you created all by yourself, Alistair.
No, I just
all
meant the
those pieces were placed on the chessboard by you.
I don't photograph people who say are in same-sex couples and are female. That's not... I don't know how I didn't see that.
I have a wildlife photographer's attitude. Oh my God.
You know, as I was saying, my brain was going, there is something wrong with what you're saying, but people will get it. And I couldn't think of what the thing that was wrong was.
I mean, I guess the problem you're up against, Alistair, is that while on a deeper level and a more fundamental philosophical level, wildlife photographers, yes, they are noted and indeed famous for their hands-off approach to the actions of the wildlife that they're documenting. The problem you face is that the word photography is in the name of the wildlife photographer. So very often before people get to consider the deeper philosophical underpinnings of the entire art form, they are confronted with the practical reality, which is that they do take photographs of things.
Yeah, I should have said retired wildlife photographer. I realize my mistake now.
He's
a wildlife photographer with a broken camera who's just recently dropped his very expensive camera and doesn't have another camera like his sock on his ankle.
Oh, that's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
That a photographer is. I mean, how does it work? Are they? Do you think the photographer is being attacked by, say, a protective silverback gorilla, and has had their camera smashed away by the silverback? But then, as the photographer lies bloodied and beaten on the ground, they are able to sneak a small camera out of their sock.
You know where I think that this would work. I think it would be a funny thing. Like, you know how, like, they make films? I guess, like, something like The Wrestler or about kind of, like, a dying industry or somebody who can barely survive in their own industry anymore. You know, it's like...
Yes.
It's like the end of, you know, I don't know, coal mining or, or, you know, like a lost old art that's been replaced by a machine.
Yes.
And, but this is about paparazzi. That, you know, like they don't get those front page photos anymore that are worth $1 million. And
yes.
Sorry. You want to be a ghost what? Sorry, Hux? Ghost basket. A ghost basket?
Yeah.
Can you give me 10 more minutes? And then I just got to finish this episode and then we can see if we can make you into a ghost basket. I'm really sorry.
No, it's an interesting texture to the episode.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I want to hear the rest of that idea. I mean, it is going to be very interesting for paparazzi when AI photography just renders it all meaningless, right? When you can just generate a picture of any celebrity doing anything.
I guess that would only be possible if everything was kind of being filmed at all times, you know, like any public outing was constantly being filmed or photographed, and then the AI was just filtering through the stuff to find the stuff that had any value.
But can't the AI just generate the images? That's what I'm saying.
I think that deep down nobody gives a shit about a paparazzi, like an AI paparazzi shot, because it's not an actual sighting of somebody.
No, but I guess if you're operating a magazine, right, and all you do is publish sort of expose photos, you know, like when there were those maybe topless photos of Kate Middleton or something like that in France, you know, and it was just some paparazzi had been hiding somewhere, being a creep, and taken these photos.
Super long lens or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. And now any paparazzi can just sit on the computer and be like, super long lens photograph of, Emmanuel Macron dipping his balls into a glass of milk on a yacht off the coast of Morocco. Yeah. And they generate that image there, and they got those amazing image. They sell that to a magazine.
Yeah, I think it's the selling it to the magazine part that I find that hard to believe, because the magazine itself would be like, well, we can, of course, just do that ourselves if we want an AI, create an AI photo of it.
But they will sell it as legitimate, obviously, right? The paparazzi is going to say, oh, no, this is real, right? Yeah. This is my point. The paparazzi will say this is real. The magazine, which is model is based on getting these one-off photographs that nobody else would have one of anyway. That's the whole point of the photograph. So they can't corroborate whether or not this is real. And if the photographs are good enough, there's no way to tell. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
No, you don't. Well, you don't, and you're not interested in finding out either.
No.
I don't care enough.
But I think I hate AI.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I don't believe in what it's capable of. It kind of just, you know, I think about mentioning it in a sketch, and it makes me sad. You see, son. you know, it's the creative work. People think that the computers will be able to do it, and then therefore that they don't need to do it, but they still think that they're a creator when they do it.
Yes, that's sort of almost the saddest bit, isn't it?
Yeah,
the person who's typing the things in and thinking, God, I'm a good. Oh, look at me doing the same kind of art as people who work really hard on it. But I'm a bit just that bit cleverer because I've found a way to do it.
It's just a tool. It's just a tool. Nah, mate. You're just the tool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alistair, what were the words again?
Okay,
Stalwart
Walmart. Okay, Hax, do you want to say one more thing? I still just need some time. Can you go watch one more episode of Octonauts? Sorry, darling. I'll just go put something else on. Apologies. And then you start on the stalwart Walmart.
Oh,
apologies
do
for all
so
the interruptions.
I'm going to do so well with this, Alistair. Don't worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Minecraft. Well, what about this? And what about the opposite of a pharmacy? A place where you can go, a Walmart, if you will, where you can see arranged on the shelves all the diseases of the world, and you can choose your diseases, and you can. I wonder if that exists. I wonder if on the black market, along with all the things about like all the drugs that you can buy on the dark web and the weapons that you can import and that sort of thing, you can buy just various different sicknesses and illnesses and germs and that sort of thing. And then, you know, not necessarily to kill somebody, but, you know, maybe you have an enemy and you think it would be good if they had a big wart on their thumb. And so you buy on the dark web, you buy some wart powder or something. You go around to their house and you spread it on a few surfaces, the doorknobs and that kind of thing. And then you can just sort of infect them. You know, not killing, but this is a kind of a...
You could put it in a baggie that looks like cocaine, and then they snort it, and then they get all warts up in their nose. And then they
my God.
And down there, like the back of their throat.
Oh, it's so horrible to imagine, but yes, Alistair. I mean, do you think you can do that? Do you think there's a website where you can go and they've some Russian cyber criminal has collected various different strains of various different unpleasant conditions, you know?
Yeah, and their specialty is they take various funguses and things like that, and they make them look like cocaine powder.
I don't know if it's just cocaine that they do. Cocaine lookalikes. But you can just buy a sample of some sort of disease that you can infect somebody with. An enemy.
Like a biochemical warfare one-stop shop.
Yeah. But again, not to kill people, but say you had an enemy at work, right? And you're both going up for a presentation. and you just want to be able to give them a really bad cold. Or
so not warfare,
like that,
so more like rival fare.
More like, let's see, bit of biffo, biochemical biffo.
Biffo fare? Because it's got to be a fare, because you're buying things.
Of course.
You know,
the
warfare.
Yes.
Biffo fare. Is
I
that
like
what
it.
Fare means? Fare means buying something, doesn't it? But then you don't, you're not, when you say warfare, it's not because you're saying buying things. You're just saying it's...
I mean, does fare mean buying things? What's an example of where that means that?
Let's see. Oh, this is good fare. Oh, this is good pub fare. We trade in pub fare. You know,
well,
traditional
that, yeah,
pub
but that's
fare.
Not...
Meals, music, and meals, entertainment. We don't have, we don't need pokies. We're a community pub. We trade
that's
in
nice.
Traditional pub fare. That's the guy who owns the Tathra pub from some video that he made about in 2010 or something like that with ABC Illawarra, I think. For some reason, I really remember it really well.
Did he say the word fair a lot?
Yeah.
Was that
Well, I think he might have said it once, and that's how I've based my whole knowledge of the meaning of fair off of that.
Yeah, well, I wonder if the fair in warfare is the same fair. If it is, it really proves to you that words can be, you know, they can travel a long distance. They can do vastly different things, or at least thrive in different contexts, still doing what they do best. But
being words.
Being words, conveying meaning. I'll tell you what, if I want to convey a meaning, 9 times out of 10, I reckon I turn to a word.
You know, it'd be cool if you could, like, just buy a cold. You know, like buy a spritz of a cold virus or whatever like that. And then if you really needed to, you could, you know, spray it onto somebody's like plate of eggs or something like that. I mean, you'd probably.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was describing.
Yeah, well, that's, I know, that's why I thought I was praising your your idea by saying that would be good. I mean, I don't think I would use the service. But
do you, I mean, maybe it would be good to be able to turn the cold spray on yourself and give yourself an actual cold if you needed it, you know, in order to get out of something.
If you had a work that really needed, you had to have a doctor's certificate and doctors became way more strict about giving those out.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think that there's like, you could picture a makeup artist who giving you a... giving like tips on how to make yourself look sick for like a Zoom based medical appointment where you want to get doctor's appointments.
You want to get a
doctor's certificate. Sorry.
Some sort of let's see, what would you call this person who teaches people how to do makeup cosmetics in order to make it look like they have, say, the flu? Would you call them maybe a makeup influenza. Influenza. Or an
influenza.
An influenza influencer.
Yeah. I think that's something, Andy.
Maybe it's not everything, but maybe it's just the something we needed
to end
this podcast.
End this
on.
Pod, Andy. Sorry about all the disruptions.
Honestly, I loved it. And I think the listeners will have.
You know, everybody.
Time,
you know,
so.
Hux has been a minor character on this show, and so it's nice for him to get an episode.
it's one of the Huxley episodes. Well, I guess yes. As the show wears on, we run out of material to do storylines with us, the two main characters, and we start really picking up on some of the minor characters and giving them a real run.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's like people just assume that we had kids based off of the how many tired episodes that we have. And then suddenly for them to actually, you know, manifest into actual episodes and for us to never edit them out. It's really good storytelling on our part.
It's a whole world. It's world building.
Yeah.
Alistair, do you want to quickly read the sketches to us really quickly?
Yes,
God,
I do.
It's going to be like a blaze of
interdimensional lightning. God war. That's where the gods, you know, they get us to fight for them. Well, or enjoy killing us. Gun that makes people depressed. We've got the the black dog whistle in films. We've got Random Day movie. That's like, it's not like Groundhog Day, but in a way, a little bit. We've got the country where people want to be taken over because they're not proud of where they're from. We've got the dying photographer with a camera in his sock that he can just take one last photo of his assailant and maybe steal his soul. I don't know if that's, he's getting destroyed by a, he's being murdered by a person from a culture that thinks that having your photo taken steals your soul.
A lot of soul-based stuff.
Yes. It's good. Very good soul episode. Then we've got the biochemical warfare or Biffo Fair, one-stop shop. Or Rival Fair.
Biffo would be a great name for a sort of an upstart arms sales website. You know, just a startup.
That's true.
Really disrupting the whole thing. Biffo,
The name that like a Murdoch company would start for their international warfare, like arms dealing company.
Yes,
because they had one that was like a betting app as well. I think that had, but you know, KO, that's their one.
They've had a few broadcasts. Yeah.
Anyway, Biff of a very good, and then we've got makeup influencer.
Yes, Alistair, we bloody did it. Good on you, mate. Good on you, mate. You have you enjoy your mate. Your road trip you're about to go on.
Yeah, we're about to go.
Or have already gone on by this point.
By this point, I could be almost in Halifax, Canada. Gosh.
I love the name Halifax.
Yeah,
love it.
It is good.
Doesn't feel like a place name. Feels like no other place name for anywhere in the world. Yeah. Just that X in there is just such a curveball.
Yeah, an X is great in a name.
Very straight, in fact.
And it's amazing though, because we have had intrusions from somebody with an X in their name as well during this episode. So it all comes together, Andy. Eh?
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
We're going to get into the song.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank.
Andy, with the bloody melody there. A little piano solo. That was good.
We appreciate everything you do for us.
Thank you so much
to everyone who supports us on Patreon. And, hey,
you know,
is this a crazy time to start asking people to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes?
Yeah, leave us a 5-star review. I mean, you know, if you like child interruptions.
It helps people to find the podcast.
Yeah, it helps people find the podcast. You know, if you're ever on a really big podcast, mention us. We're not getting to have as much time, you know, to go out and do big podcasts and stuff. So, you know.
Mm.
If you get a chance,
if you're on one and somebody asks you to plug your podcast, just plug ours.
Yeah.
Yours is probably doing fine.
Or if you're ever like speaking to like a national audience, or you're receiving a gold medal and doing an interview or something like that. If any of our listeners are going to the Olympics this year, good luck. Is it this year?
Of course.
Next year?
We always want to wish good luck to our Olympians.
Yeah, Olympian listeners, and I mean, you know, obviously, world champs is fine too. We're not gonna. It occurred to me the other day, all the Olympians in every event probably know each other really well.
Oh yeah,
because you'd think that it's more like blood sport, where they all just like get transported from like isolated lands where they've, you know, some recruiter has found the best from each place, but they've probably been competing for tens of years since they're kids against each other, and when they pass each other going like, hey Fred, nice shoes, it's like, you know, how's the family, that kind of stuff, you know?
And they're probably training in the same advanced facilities somewhere.
Exactly, they probably
they have
the same
so much
guy injecting
in
the undetectable, you know, performance enhancing drugs into their veins.
Well,
all right, Andy, thanks very much everybody for listening. Andy, thank you very much for staying up for this. And we...
Thank you for getting up for this. And we... No problem. Love you.
You. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.